Right, it's great to have Dave Day with us again. Dave's good friend of Marion's very pleased. Dave's a good friend of Dayspring and has lots of input, particularly to Dave and more increasingly to myself as well. And we're excited to see what he's got for us today. So let me just pray for you and then we'll... Father, I thank you for Dave. Thank you for all that he does and the way that he serves you. Thank you for all his input and his wisdom that he gives to Dayspring. And we look forward again to hearing what you've put on his heart for us today. I pray that we will hear the words that you are speaking through him to us and that we'll take those things on board and that we will make the changes that you are looking to make through them in our own lives as well. So bless Dave as he speaks to us now, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
That's mine.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
You'll be pleased to know that Marion said in 2 minutes what I was going to spend the next half hour talking about. But you know, that's fine. That's fine. 40 desert days. I'm sure you're familiar with the fact Lent is the 40-day build-up to Easter, that's right.
And,
but the theory, the thinking behind it, was the 40 days that Jesus had in the wilderness. And in Luke chapter 4, it said, as we heard earlier, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the River Jordan, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. What I'd like to do today is start off with to tell you what my two prayers for you are over this period. And then for those of us who wouldn't call ourselves great prayers, I mean, I've got some friends who tell me the hours that they pray and I feel inspired and intimidated and a failure. And you know, for those of us, how do we connect? Because there are some people I know who've got a real grace and calling and desire on their life to pray, and it consumes them. But that isn't everyone's experience. And so, as I said, for some of us who aren't there, we read these great books on prayer and we're inspired, intimidated. So just some very practical ways that might help if you are like me, somebody who doesn't naturally wake up in the morning and say, right, the first hour, Lord, is yours. And if any of you have got toddlers, you'll never have that sense. So my two prayers. One is, as we read, Jesus full of the Spirit. And then in verse 14, after the 40 days, he returned filled with the Spirit's power. So something happened in those 40 days that ignited, that turned on the engine, that activated the fullness that was there into power. Now, I know theologically there's a whole lot of perspectives about fullness of the Spirit. There'd be some people who say the fullness of the Spirit is an experience after salvation, and there's lots of debates about baptism in the Spirit, fullness of the Spirit. My understanding is that if we're children of God, we have the Spirit of God within us because we're born of the Spirit. John 3, well-known passage. We're born of the Spirit. We can't confess Jesus as Lord unless the Spirit of God is within us. So all of us here, we've got God's Spirit within us. Now, the key is not whether we've got the Spirit within us, but whether it's actually motivated into power. I've got a car full of diesel. It's no use unless something switches it on and activates that fullness. And my prayer for you is that over this period, things will happen. And for Jesus, it was very much a sense of deprivation. It was very much a sense of all that he was called to be and do was being contested. It was to do with his identity. It was to do with his call. It was to do with his power. It was to do with his priorities. Those things were being contested. And as a result of him holding on to his identity as God's son, you see, he came from the baptism experience, as we heard, and The words of his father were, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." So there was a real sense of identity. But that was being contested by the enemy. And we here are sons and daughters of God. That is who we are. And we've got God's Spirit within us. And the issue is not that we now rest back in that, but somehow that is turned to power, because the power is transforms the fullness. And so my prayer for you as a church is that over this period, the power of God will be more actively at work. I do think at salvation we're filled with the Spirit, but Paul does say to us, and I do believe that there's a dimension, a dynamic, an experience of the Spirit that we can connect into. Whether you call it baptism in the Spirit, whether it's a post-conversion experience or you know, at somewhere on the journey. But what Paul says is keep on being filled with the Spirit. So it's not a box we ticked. I was baptized in the Spirit on, you know, 28th of August 1999. It's not a box we tick. It's a dynamic that we live through. And so Paul says, keep on being filled. And so that's my first prayer for you, that the fullness will turn to power individually, but corporately as well. But then it says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And when you talk about being led by the Spirit, I wonder what is conjured up in your mind. What is a little bit confusing is in verse 5, it says the devil led him to the high mountain. But I'll let you think about that if you want to. But Jesus was led by the Spirit. So what does being led by the Spirit mean? Any thoughts? Is it a sort of supernatural, beam me up, Scotty, and move me to here? Okay, while you think of an answer, and I'll be wanting an answer, let me tell you a couple of times where I believe I was led by the Spirit. I've been to see some friends in Bristol, and I normally come back, if you know Bristol by the Downs, I normally come back on that road up to Cribbs Causeway and then to where I live. But the road was closed, so I had to make a decision, which way do I go? And so I decided to go a different way, which ended up taking me up the A38. And as I was driving up the A38 in Filton, if you know Bristol, I had a sense, and I can't describe it any more than that, but I just had a gut feeling that I needed to call into the Tesco Express garage. Now, it's not a common occurrence for me to have a great desire to call into, but I just felt I had to go to Tesco Express. And I can't explain it, but I did. So I parked the car, walked in, feeling a bit of a fool, thinking, if the CCTV cameras are on me, you know, they're going to look at this man walking up and down the aisles up to no good. So, but I basically had a gut feeling, that's all I can say. And I was in there a couple of minutes thinking, well, perhaps God is leading me to a bargain, you know, that I need to change my life. And all of a sudden, a friend of mine walked in. And he said, "Dave, it's so good to see you. I'm just coming from Southmead Hospital. My wife is in the car. She's just been diagnosed with cancer and she's not coping. We just need to get some milk, so I've just come in." And he knew our experience. He knew that we'd worked through cancer in the family and so understood some of the dynamics. He said, "Don't go out and see her, please, because she's too raw for that. But will you please pray for us?" So I prayed for him in the Tesco Express and said I'd pray for his wife every day, which we did. But I think I'd say I was led by the Spirit. Have any of you had experiences like that? Yes. Give me one, Carol.
Well, I'm trying to remember, but I know there's been times where...
Make it up if it's good.
Truth never gets in the way of a good story. But where, like,
hang
you,
on, it's I've just won the pass of the mic.
All right.
I'm trying to think of instances, but I can't think. But I know there's been times where I've been in the right place at the right time, but not necessarily a place where I would have been or expected to go and felt like I would just drop in on somebody and I've gone in and they've just witnessed somebody dying or something like that. And there's been instances just like that where, you know, I've just felt it was like you, it was just a gut feeling that I should go and talk to somebody or do something or be somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sort of thing.
Any others of you got any? Right.
Yeah, it's a strange one, and Andy is really good at journaling, and I know that I've got to keep writing some things down, but we went away on a spa weekend to the Isle of Wight.
Oh, sounds and it sounds like the desert, mate.
Yeah, it was really difficult. Yeah, and this guy was just in a place of need, and we picked up, I guess both of us picked up that he was, you know, in a real place of need, and through conversations we ended up praying for him while we were there. But it was a spirit-led thing, and it was great.
Thanks. Simon.
Yeah, so a few years ago I was clearing out my old house and looking to sell it. I was up in the loft and saw my daughter's old buggy that we had. And at that time, you know, I wasn't thinking spiritually or anything at all. I just saw this sitting there, and God said to me, take it with you, you're going to give it away. And, you know, that was in Essex, and I was with my parents in Frome. So I took it with me. And at the church I was in at the time, there was a sort of service and people with needs sort of met together. And one of the women there, she was on benefits and not much money. And she said, well, you know, I'm really struggling. I need a buggy for my daughter. And I said, right, there you go then. Mm. That's the buggy.
Behind you.
Hi, I was on my way home from Bristol to, no, Bath, I'm telling lies, from Bath to Northampton, and was due to go on a bus, and I'd booked my ticket. And I got to the bus station and I had plenty of time, but I didn't get on the bus because I was waiting in the wrong place and I couldn't understand why. And then I went to get, I thought, well, what do I do now? I'll go and get the train. So I went and got the train and had to go back to Temple Meads in order to get the train out. But on the train out from Temple Meads, a young man came who was really ripe to hear about God, and we had the most wonderful uplifting conversation, and he left me, and I've never seen him since, but his name was Finn, and I can remember all about him because it was a God-appointed encounter.
Thanks. So being led by the Spirit is sometimes when you do ordinary things or you just respond to a real gut feeling. Let me give you another couple of examples. Some years ago, I'd borrowed a friend's car, was driving home, again, if you know Bristol, down the A38. I stopped at some traffic lights in Bristol, but the car behind me didn't see the lights. And so my friend's car was written off. And the police were surprised that I wasn't hurt, but I wasn't. So I eventually got home, and Ree said, Dave, you're all right. So I said, yeah, and she said, Eugene, a friend of ours from South Africa, has been on the phone about an hour ago. He said he just felt he had to pray for you. He felt that there was some danger and he had to pray for you. What's happened? Now, here's my friend in South Africa, 5,500 miles away, having a gut feeling. And he prayed for me. My biggest fear was telling the guy whose car it was, and he said, oh, that's so good, I've been trying to get rid of that car. But being led by the Spirit is sometimes, if the Spirit of God is within us, if we are full of the Spirit, then sometimes the leading of the Spirit will be an internal sense. So another couple of examples. One is, if I'm ever following an ambulance with the lights on, I will generally pray for the person who's in it. Again, a few years ago, I was driving up from a village near us and there was an ambulance with the red lights flashing. So I'd normally just pray, you know, Lord, watch over that person. But again, I just had this real gut feeling that I had to pray in tongues. So I prayed as earnestly as I pray for this ambulance, thinking,
you know, wonder what. Found out later that it was a friend of ours who'd been in a car accident, was in that very ambulance. But it was responding, if we're full of the Spirit, being led by the Spirit isn't always a ethereal, you know, transportation, it's responding to the gut feeling that you feel. And my prayer is, and you know, David was talking about inviting people to the cabaret. Gut feelings can be our leading of the Spirit, because we're full of the Spirit. And sometimes too, and I think it's a bit like we just heard, sometimes things that seem to be coincidences can be really led by the Spirit. We were in a situation 2 years ago where, because of various things that were happening, I needed legal advice. There was a potentially quite a serious situation. We'd been in a similar situation before and been through the whole court process, and this situation was rearing its head. I'd taken a weekend for a church camp, and met a guy there who was a lawyer, and he was partner of quite a big firm. And this situation rose its head, and I thought, I need to contact a lawyer. Should I contact him? So I asked his pastor, a friend of mine, if he'd be happy for me to do that, and he said, yeah. So I sent him an email, I sent him a couple, and I got out-of-office replies. You know, he was obviously sunning it up and all the, you know, legal charges that they... Anyway, the Monday the next week, I know how to live it up. I went to Aldi. I had to get some important stuff. And so I was in the queue at Aldi, and there in front of me was this very same guy. And I had no idea that his offices were just 5 minute walk away, and he'd just gone to get some lunch. And I thought, this seems like a natural coincidence. But if we are men and women of the Spirit, sometimes coincidences have got that sense of God's Spirit. So we chatted, walked back to his office. He said a very interesting thing. He said, Dave, in these situations, often innocent people think, I don't need a lawyer. He said, in my experience of law, it's the innocent people who need a lawyer most. So I'll just give you that as a word of encouragement. But it seemed like a chance meeting, but God's Spirit was in it. And what we need to do is be open enough to believe that if we're full of the Spirit, and if we are, and if we've submitted ourselves to the Spirit, things might happen that might seem coincidental, but it'll be God's leading. So my two prayers for you is that the fullness of the Spirit that you have will turn to power, but also that we will have a deeper understanding of what it is to be led by the Spirit. Now, just a few tips, if you're thinking, gosh, they're all expecting me to pray. In a lot of areas of Christian life, I believe the three D's operate: duty, discipline, and delight. So if it's giving financially, I think as a church, we have a duty, a responsibility to give. Now, duty can be onerous, but we carry a responsibility, so we have got a responsibility. If the church has been called to prayer, we've got a duty or responsibility to do that, because it's us. And so sometimes you're saying, right, I choose to do this, is saying, I will take my responsibility as a member of this church family, and I'll do it. Now, sometimes duty can be onerous, but sometimes it's that sense of duty that helps us take the first step. I think discipline is important. Often I get asked to speak in churches on giving, which is generally a sign they haven't got enough money. And so it's far easier to bring someone else in from outside to, you know, to get your wallets out than us leaders. And some churches will advocate tithing. Some will say tithing isn't a New Testament principle. You know, so there's whole debates about that. My personal stance is I could argue for or against tithing. Generally, people who say tithing is not a New Testament principle want an excuse not to give so much. But if you take it as not a New Testament principle, the other side of that coin is that we give everything. Everything is available. But Ray and I, we tithe our income out of a discipline. Because if we didn't do that, we would lose some hold on what we do and what we actually give. So as a discipline, we tithe. And that frees us to give on top of that. But prayer, it's a discipline. We should pray. Now, my aim is not to make you feel guilty about it, but you know, if God is our Father, you will want to talk to him. If God is our Father, you will want to listen to him. But sometimes it needs the discipline for that. But the next step is delight. Because what I'm praying for too is that, as you say, right, as a responsible member of Dayspring Church, I'm going to choose to give myself to prayer. I'm going to discipline myself to some extent. Maybe I'll have to give up something in order to do it. But do it until it becomes a delight. And simple things that I would use and encourage you, one is the Lord's Prayer. I was speaking to a friend a couple of months ago, and he said, do you know, he said, I realized a few weeks ago that I'd said the Lord's Prayer for about 30 years, but I'd never prayed it. And it might be for some, using the Lord's Prayer as a base might be a very helpful way to kickstart praying. And I would encourage you to take three bits from it. It's what I do. One is, it starts off with Our Father. What I came to say, and I'm sure I've said this before, as we had to process some heartache, I realized all the time our default position was to pray for things. And we wanted answers, we wanted justice, we wanted healing, you know. And just reading the Lord's Prayer, once it hit me, Our Father. Prayer is about relationship, not about results. And sometimes we so shape our prayers hoping we'll get results. But what will transform you and me is knowing that it's relational. That's the only way that our lives will be transformed, by God the Father pouring in his love. You know, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, Paul says in Romans. And so maybe for some, just taking that first sentence of the Lord's Prayer every day and just thanking God that he's your Father. And what it might do is expose the fact that because of your own situation, you feel you've never been adequately fathered. Now, that was my dilemma as a young Christian, because my parents split up, which in those days was very rare. I think I was the only one in my class who didn't live with both parents. It's very, very different today. But my father had been dishonourable. He'd left. He'd gone off with a woman who was only a couple of years older than my eldest brother. So there's all that. So when they used to say about God being your father, I couldn't really relate to it. And so I had to go through a whole lot of encounters with God, and God had to set me free from something. But what I saw was that prayer is to do with relationships, whereas I thought it was to do about results. I thought that if I got the results, it would confirm the relationship, or it would help enhance the relationship. But so maybe for some of us, just starting off with that first line, Our Father, and thank God every day that he is our Father. And as I said, if it exposes, throws up some questions, some voids, use this 40 days to get with somebody just to pray about it. The next thing about the Lord's Prayer that's affected me is the prayer, Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I believe one of the purposes of the church is to see his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So I'd suggest to you that maybe you take that, Your kingdom come, your will be done, as your prayer for Wiltshire, as your prayer for your neighbours. You know, David was talking about the front line. You can be the person who can bring God's kingdom to those that you work with. You can be the ones that can pray, your kingdom come in Derry Hill, in Calne, in Chippenham, in Wiltshire. You're focusing on Wiltshire. Make that your prayer. Your kingdom come in Wiltshire. And how will it come? One of the ways will be by God filling people with the Spirit, turning it into power and bringing the power of the Spirit into whatever context he's put us. And the third thing of the Lord's Prayer that I would pray frequently is just the phrase, give us this day our daily bread. Now, if you're like me, I don't have to pray that prayer. Sometimes, you know, in the 40 desert days, it's a case of God, give me the strength not to. That's not a prayer I specifically have to pray. But I've got many friends in different parts of the world who have to pray that prayer every day. And I felt some time ago, God was saying to me, who can you be the answer to someone's prayer for? And so I would say to you, if you do pray the Lord's Prayer, if you use it just personally as a simple guideline, when you pray, give us this day our daily bread, thank God that we have got enough. But say, God, is there someone who's praying that prayer who I can be the answer to? Now, at one level, corporately, you do that for the school that you support in India. You know, 100 kids have their daily bread every day because you give to it. You are the answer to their prayer. And they might not voice that prayer or know that they're praying it, but their heart cry is, we're hungry. But are there people around you? Because in the temptations that we read, the first temptation was, Jesus was hungry. And the devil tempted him with bread. He touched that vulnerable point in Jesus. And Jesus realized that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God's mouth. You'll have hungry people around you who perhaps don't need bread, but they're hungry for something. And maybe as you start to think of those that are on your front line, you can pray, God, can I be the answer to their prayers? So maybe for some, that would be a simple but helpful way to start. It's something that I do, and the Lord's Prayer is a prayer that I pray every day. But for me, those are the three things that grab me most when I pray it. And it might be that if you start praying it, different things will speak to you. So other simple things, it's recognizing we can't create time. You'll always only have 24 hours in the day, but you can make time. Sometimes my phone tells me how much green average screen time each day. Does yours do that? It can do. And you're like, gosh, that's a lot of time. We've had grandchildren staying with us all week, so their time exceeds mine. But and you justify it, well, I don't buy a newspaper now, I get the news from it, or I communicate through it, or I've got the Bible on it. But I think, gosh, there's a lot of things that it wouldn't be hard just to make another couple of minutes. Or what I found helpful, and this doesn't undermine prayer, but Paul says, you know, pray at all times. Are there mundane things that you do, and maybe do every day, that you could just use that time to pray for some things? Now, I try to exercise every day, and there's a certain exercise called the plank, which anyway, you can make, Ralph will show you afterwards how to do it. So I try and do 3 1-minute planks a day. And what I've committed to is praying for certain people each time I do it. Now, it's something I would do anyway because I need to. For my age and stage, I've got to stay relatively fit and healthy. But that's something I do every day. So why don't I use that time constructively? If you drive to work every day, don't know whether you listen to the news, listen to the radio, or what you do, maybe if it's something you do every day that you've got to do, sometimes prayer is just bringing God in into that. So it's making time. You can't create time, but you can make time, which is a bit different in my thinking. You can't add hours to the day, but you can redeem the time that we've got. So I seem to know a number of people at this present moment in time who are battling with cancer. So there's a couple of people in particular I've said I'll pray for every day. So I know for 1 minute a day, I will pray for them. Now, I realise that's not long, but at least I'm doing it, because it's a discipline that if you do things enough time, it becomes a habit. So when I drive into the gym, as I drive into the car park, I can see the people who I pray for doing those exercises. And one thing that I hope will happen out of this 40 days, is some things you do, and it might not be a vast amount of time, but if we do it often enough, it becomes habitual. So I would, it's my natural response in doing certain exercise, pray for this situation, pray for that situation. Ask God to put people or situations on your heart. Now, a friend of mine, she's had health battles, she's had all sorts of battles, but her thing is sending cards to people. And what she does is she asks God to put people on her heart who she should send a card to. Now, it's not, it sounds, you know, not mega, but I've been to many different places in the world and people have said, we had a card from Linda last week, last month, 3 months ago. And it just was what we needed. It doesn't have to be high flying and dynamic. You know, it might be that you're that sort of person. And writing cards or writing letters. Do you remember letters? But, you know, just be open to God. Say to God, is there anybody that I can just send a verse to, or just say, I'm praying for you. And I know as we've processed various things, there's always some people who try and tell you the answers or what you need, and it's seldom helpful. What's been more helpful is people saying we were praying for you. I just felt to pray for you today. And if you feel that, it's not proud or presumptive to let them know, because sometimes people need to hear it. I tried to divide Lent into L-E-N-T, which I did, but the L is use some time to listen. Because for many of us, that's the hardest part of praying. I've got people who, if I chat to them, they just talk at me. And after, you know, the half hour's up, I think, hang on a minute, you didn't ask me one thing. I could have helped you with that. I think sometimes we so bombard God that let your L of Lent be listen. Do spend a bit of time listening. Switch off. Because God probably wants to speak to us more than we imagine, but sometimes we almost don't give him room. The E is explore. Find new ways. So it might be reading the Bible. There's probably some of you who read the Bible every day, some of you who occasionally, and some who feel guilty about not reading the Bible. Explore and find different ways of taking in God's word. So there's lots of apps. Or just get an app that gives you a verse for the day. Because if you have trouble reading the Bible, or you've got out of the habit of doing so, maybe just to think about one verse a day will start to reconnect you back into rediscovering the Bible. And I think sometimes as Christians, we've almost got to rediscover the Bible, especially because younger generations emerging are quite biblically illiterate for all sorts of reasons. So we've got to find a way that works for us. And how you worship, how you pray, how you read the Bible is probably different for different ones. So I can't say this is the way you do it. It might be this is the way that works for me. It may work for you, but it might not work for you. So explore ways of worship, of prayer. It's as valid to pray walking the dog as it is kneeling by the bed. It's as valid to pray with your eyes open when you're driving as to close your eyes. Not when you're driving, but yeah. So explore. The N is note, take notes. Now, you, Rob, were saying about journaling. I've got some friends who journal. And for them, it's the most important thing in the world. I've never been able to do it. In fact, I've just been mentoring a guy who's gone through a Pioneer Leadership Program, and one of the things there was they had to journal. And for this guy, it was alien. So we had to find a way, how can you make note? So what we did in the end, we just got an app that he spoke into. So he's journaling, because reading has always been, and writing has been a problem to him in the past. He makes note, but he does it through an app. So he journals by speaking. And for him, that's worked. If you're someone who delights in journaling, carry on. If you're someone who feels, gosh, I ought to, because everybody says how beneficial it is, but it's it originated in a different planet to where you were born, find other ways. But speak it out. Or if you're artistic, draw it. If you're musical, sing it. But take note of what you feel that God is saying. What I love in the story before Jesus was born, it says that Mary treasured these things in her heart. So when God spoke to her, she pondered on it, she treasured it. She made a mental note of it. So please make note of what you feel God might be saying. And if it sounds a bit bizarre, then run it past someone else. And the T is thanks. I think it's really helpful at the end of every day or sometime in the day just to stop and say, well, what have we got to thank God for today? If it's a bad day, you can thank God it's over. But there's a giving of thanks which enhances the relationship. Again, as we've said, start small and build up. Set realistic targets. It's a bit like someone who signs up for the London Marathon. They don't practice the marathon the first day. They walk for 3 minutes and then they run for 3 minutes, and it builds up and it builds up. If the thought of, you know, giving hours to prayer is daunting for you, you haven't got to start off there. It's more to do with relationship and intent. It's not a competition, who has prayed the most. No one's going to say in 40 days' time, who prayed the most here? There's a prize for you. Be realistic. Find somebody, and again, this has been mentioned, but it's so helpful. Find somebody, maybe once a week, who you can just pray with. Now, I used to fondly believe that every married couple found it easy to pray together. My experience has been, not every married couple finds it easy to pray together. Shout me down if you think I'm a heretic. But I had this imagination that every married couple would just automatically pray for hours together, and you know. And once I voiced this in a meeting, and the number of people who came up and said, thanks for saying that, we just find it really difficult to pray together. Now, that doesn't condone not praying together, but realistically, even for married couples, it might not be easy. So why don't you, with your partner if you're married, or with a friend, or in some context, just find somebody to pray with. And maybe start off just by saying, what have we got to be thankful for? But what I know is that someone keeps me to account if I pray with them. And it's more of an incentive for me to pray, to do it with somebody, because I can't find an excuse not to. As we have heard, you know, there'll be a whiteboard. Do feedback what you think God has been saying to you about the church, about its mission, anything you feel God is saying. If you feel that God is saying something to you personally, in some pastoral context, share that. Because sometimes, again, it's the accountability that's so important. What I've found, and we see it so often in Scripture, when God speaks to us, it's generally contested. You know, God spoke to Jesus, and it was immediately contested. God anointed David as king through Samuel, and it was immediately contested. Joseph was, God spoke to him that he'd be a leader, it was immediately contested. And sometimes if you feel God's saying something to you, just be able to talk about it with someone else. And if it's way off beam, they will say. Because sometimes we do distort what we think God is saying, or we undervalue it because we think God wouldn't be saying that to me. And the first time I felt the sense of God giving me direction for my life, I thought this is too much, and so I downplayed it. Not me. But find a context to be praying with people. And if Lent is about dropping something, I'm not a great fan of dropping chocolate for Lent, you know, but that's not spiritual, that's just greed. But there are other things that I need to drop that are more important. And sometimes it's attitudes. Sometimes it's hurts. Sometimes it's mistrust. Are there things that we should be, that we know, stop us from really moving in the power of the Spirit? And to drop those things might ultimately be more effective for you to be living in the power of the Spirit than not eating chocolate cake or whatever it might be. Now, if you feel you want to go without chocolate for 40 days or coffee or whatever, fine. But the things that will change you are attitudes. And what I would say at the end is it doesn't have to stop after 40 days. Only 7 days left, then we can get back to normal. Let these next 40 days become your normal. Because what God wants us to enjoy is a 365-day experience. And yes, 40 days will be a chance to focus, but focus until what you practice becomes habit. And so may this 40 days be the start of the rest of your life. Any comments or questions? Or I'm not sure why I'm holding this. Gus, go look at that.
Let me just say thanks. And can you tell us what this L-E-N-T? Let's see if we can fix that in our minds. L, listen. E, explore, doing something different. Note, and thanks. That's brilliant, isn't it? Thank you, Dave. We're going to take opportunity to note together. I journal sometimes, and it will vary between 2 or 3 days. Sometimes I'll write down something, and then there'll be nothing for 6 months. And I'll look through those times. I think when it's very good or very bad, then I tend to journal a lot. When it's just normal, I don't. And, you know, I have to blow the dust off my book. But we're going to note together, and that's what Whiteboard Central is about. Now, everybody's got different responsibilities, and I'm grabbing this last minute to tell you about the one that I'm invested in. In fact, it's going to be Flipchart Central, because I'm expecting that we'll get more than one whiteboard full and we'll be able to keep it. So what we're going to do is somewhere we're going to put up at least 3 flip charts. One of them is going to be headed up for intuitions or gut feelings. One is going to be headed up for thoughts or questions. And the other's going to be headed up for prayers. So if there's something you strongly feel that you want to carry on praying for, has been really stirred in you, you can just put that on there. Put your initials beside it as well, because you'll need to be quite, you don't get a whole flip chart to put your prayer need up, you just get one line, yeah? And just put your initials beside it so people can ask you more. If you've got an intuition or a gut feeling about something, stick that up as well on the chart. And if there's a question, whatever the question is, about prayer that's come up or any thought, stick it on there as well. And we'll find a good space. We're thinking that we might be able to put it in the foyer, but we're not sure yet whether it's going to be a trip hazard. So it may actually move into a corner here. And if you don't think three flip charts is enough, then please do tell us if there's something else that you'd like to head up comments under. So that's been really brilliant, Dave, the stories that you've told us of those moments. I wonder what would have happened if you'd have said, ah, no, it's ridiculous stopping at Tesco's.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wonder how many times I've done that. So that's nuts. You know,
it didn't change either the incident or the outcome. It just helped somebody at that point to cope with it.
Yeah, which possibly changes the outcome as well in terms of coping. And you've got instances like that where you've followed up. And I'm sure that at times you've had those instances where you've walked around Tesco's and walked around Tesco's and walked around Tesco's and nothing's happened. You know, we're percentage people, we don't always get it right. But Dave, really appreciate that. That's set us up well for what we're going to do over next week. A lot of this is about creating space. And some of those spaces are going to be just 5 minutes long that we create. And if it's 5 minutes more and it gets to be regular, and don't worry, because some of you are going to get to Wednesday or Thursday and think, oh, flip, we were supposed to have started 40 desert days. Well, 38 days is good. 17's not bad. But if we step up just a little bit, that would be brilliant. Let's just pray for one another. And in the quietness of your heart, pray for the person on the left of you and on the right of you, and ask that God will touch them and lead them as we attempt to go into the desert to find space in the power of the Spirit with Jesus. Amen. Next week, we're going to be looking at spiritual renewal and what it means to at least four people. They're going to contribute and talk about that a bit as part of our thinking about our goals during 40 Desert Days. Okay, that's brilliant.